Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lindsay W. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Houston, Texas. Today is Thursday, April 11th, 2024, and today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in the chapter Bill's Story on page 13, the third paragraph beginning, "My schoolmate visited me," through one paragraph ending, "to the utmost of my ability." And we will be commenting on that one paragraph. Today's readers are, for the 12 steps, Donna M., 12 traditions, Joni Y., and our readers of the text will be Martha Z., Katie G., and then Carolyn S. will be our backup for today. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Reva P., and the second, our host, is Pete B. The reference numbers for yesterday, Wednesday, April 10th, are 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 21,304, so that's 21304, and 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 21,305, so that's 21305. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. So I will now ask Donna M. to read the 12 steps. Donna, you'll press star one to unmute. We cannot hear you.
Can you hear me now?
We can.
Great. All right. I'm sorry about that. Here are the 12 steps. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry the message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me serve, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Donna M., and I will now ask Joni Y. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. Here are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he expresses himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for the opportunity to serve. And I pass.
Thank you. Thank you, Joni. Right. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. You're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. So this morning, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are in the chapter Bill's Story on page 13, the third paragraph, beginning with, my schoolmate visited me, through one paragraph ending, to the utmost of my ability. So I will now ask Martha Z to begin reading for us. Good morning, Martha.
Good morning, Lindsay. I'm Martha C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater by the grace of God from outside of Philadelphia. My schoolmate visited me, and I fully acquainted him with my problems and deficiencies. We made a list of people I had hurt or toward whom I felt resentment. I expressed my entire willingness to approach these individuals, admitting my wrong. Never was I to be critical of them. I was to right all such matters to the utmost of my ability. Good morning, my friends in recovery. Just a little bit of context. Bill W. is in Towns Hospital for the last time. It's December of 1934. And so in the last paragraph, he's quickly taken steps 1 to 4 and 6 and 7. And I love it in the Big Book when we've got these paragraphs where all the steps are in. And in this page, in a couple paragraphs, we have all of them. So with today, starting with today, it says, my schoolmate visited me and I fully acquainted him with all my problems and deficiencies. Okay, so we have step 5 there. And then the next sentence, we made a list of people I had hurt or toward whom I felt resentment. Step 8, I expressed my entire willingness to approach these individuals admitting my wrong. Step 9, never was I to be critical of them. Step 10. And getting back to 9 and 10, I was to write all such matters to the utmost of my ability. And when I I first started my recovery several years ago, so I was not even familiar with the Big Book way of doing things, but I was doing a 12-step program. And so with step five, I've done it many, many times, but all the time I've done it, I've always felt totally comfortable with sharing myself with someone else. I really always trust that, I always pray that I'm going to find the right person to talk to, and I feel really comfortable with it. And then it helps me feel clean pretty much. But also, as we're doing that, we kind of always work together to make a list of those I've harmed, and they come out in the resentments and the fears and all that stuff. And I also think that it's really important to talk to the person that you're working with about the list and who should be on the list, because I think there are times when I think, oh, that's not necessary, and they may think it is, and vice versa. So, but I think most of all, and then with step nine, like, right, who should be on the list and how to approach that. But for now, most of all, like, I see all these steps, steps 4 through 9 and step 10. And step 10 is, I did not do it quickly like Bill did it, but in my step 10, I do, and whenever something comes up, I really, when I'm disturbed, I really can be at peace in a matter of minutes if I'm willing to, speak with somebody and work things through. And I'm really grateful to be recentered that way. And I just wanted to share one more thing. I looked up the word ruthless from yesterday, and it said without ruth. And I'm like, wait, what? So it means without pity. So we look at these things without pity. Okay. Anyway, just a fact. Okay. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Martha Z, for getting us started this morning. And although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So I will take a list. Please just give me your first name and the first initial of your last name. Who would like to share on this paragraph?
Alec B. from Missouri.
Charles H.
Melissa C. Maya K.
Alec, Charles, Melissa, and Maya. Who else would like to share? We've got lots of spots.
Shanista N.
Gotcha, Shanista.
Marie T.
Awesome. All right, so we will start with this lineup. I've got Alec B., Charles H., Melissa C., Maya K., Shanista N., and Marie T. So we'll get started with that. And then when you share, please give us your first name, the first initial of your last name, and where you are calling from so we can find you on the member list. So Alec, please go ahead and share with us.
Hello, good morning, everyone. This is Alec B. from St. Louis, Missouri, A-L-E-C-B. I'm a compulsive overeater and restrictor, recovered for today by the grace of God and this program and mercy of God too, the closeness. And I'm just struck by this passage because we see this shift that I experienced in program that surprised me from a focus on the behavior, on the food, the compulsion, the obsession, where I'm sort of looking inward. And that's important, but then to shift of now looking towards others, looking towards my relationships, looking towards my community, looking towards how the compulsion also had costs for other people. And I think that was hard for me to see. It was something I did in secret. It was something I did whenever other people went to bed. It was something I didn't let other people see. But then in reflection, I was able to notice how, oh no, when I was stuck in this disease, I was not being attentive to other people. I was impatient. I was constantly at a meal, not thinking about the meal, and by which I mean the enjoyment of the communion of the people together with whom I was sharing bread, but rather thinking about the food, thinking about my own pleasure, not thinking about the gift of that relationship, the gift that God was giving me with these friendships. And so this program, I had to realize that it wasn't just about stopping the behavior. It was about healing all of these other things. And rather not me healing it, rather letting God heal it. And that required honesty, and it required humility, and it required doing what I was asked to do and surrendering without guilt, without shame, but being gentle with myself, recognizing how the affliction affected me and how God was inviting me to a new place of freedom. And I'm grateful that it did, that God did. It took longer than I anticipated. It had highs and lows, but it was a recognition that I was not the one to do it, that I was not the one to solve this, that I couldn't resolve it, that it had to be through the help of God and through the help of submitting myself to this program and trusting in each one of you who shared with me about your experiences and your strength and your hope, and realizing that I'm just like all of you in need of this program in the same way. And so I'm glad because it works, because God wants to give freedom and healing and love and life. And so now I'm able to sit at a meal and enjoy the meal, enjoy those I'm with, enjoy this life, that this one wild and precious life I've been given, so as to love and serve others in a new relationship with my Creator and a new relationship with those around me through the fourth, fifth step and all the rest. And so with that, I'm grateful, and with that I pass. Alec B. from Missouri.
Awesome. Thank you, Alec B. from Missouri. And next up is Charles H. Good morning, Charles.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. I won't waste time and say my name again. This is a beautiful and wonderful passage in a big book. And I want to drill down on that number three. Three is a significant number in a big book. You know, three is also a significant number personally in my life. There's a lot of things that can happen in 3 days. So as somebody alluded to, for the final time, Bill W. entered the Charlestown Hospital. And from December 11th to December 14th, 3 days, he was recovered, never to drink again. At his final trip, you know, 3 days. Anybody can get resurrected. To back that up, on page 63, the 11th promise is we were reborn, the 11th third step promise. And so, you know, there's so much places in the big book. You know, on a vision for you, it talks about, you know, Bill D, that on the third day he's seen his, you know what it says, study for yourself. It's the open book test. But so my higher power died, and 3 days later he was resurrected. Same concept. You know, anything can happen in 3 days. You know, anything can happen in 3 seconds. I can die in 3 seconds, but I could be revived in 3 days. And, you know, if I take more than 3 to 10 seconds on a third step, then I'm doing it wrong. And this is a daily thing, that every day I need to place myself unreservedly under his care and direction. And, you know, some great things can happen after I do that. I'm working a text. I admitted for the first time that of myself I was nothing, that without him I was lost. I ruthlessly faced my sins and became willing to have my newfound friend take them away root and branch. I have not had a drink since. So backing up what I'm saying, you know, it's a daily thing, right? But the third step and 3 days is a very significant number you know, lives can be destroyed so that they can be rebuilt. And this can be the year of your rebuild. No more resolutions. No more, you know, no more whatever. No more schemes. No more schism. You know, step three is a very important step in my life, and I believe in the life of people that, you know, believe in this program. That's all you need to do. Believe in this program. Well, I don't know what you need to do. I know I believe in this program. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Charles H. from New York. And next up is Melissa C.
Good morning, Lindsay. Thanks so much for your service. Good morning, everyone. I'm Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in New York. And, you know, I read this and I think what really strikes me this morning is that this position of complete humility, you know, that Bill fully acquaints his schoolmate with his problems and his deficiencies, the things that are lacking within him. And that together they make this list. You know, it says we made a list. So there's a real expression of, I can't do this on my own anymore. And for myself, one of the most, like, profound changes that happened to me, you know, I always talk about my physical transformation because it was huge. But my internal shift, I went from someone who really had to make sure that I was managing and controlling other people's opinions of me. It mattered. Like, and I have to tell you, that's the devil that I face still today. Like, that is, you know, the food, the problem with the food has been removed. The problem with trying to manage and control how I'm perceived by others, you know, it's dying. It's not dead yet, but I can't believe the transformation there, because I do. I embrace this position of humility. I value it. I know that the only chance I have of living in freedom is to be an open book. You know, to just reveal who I am. And I think, you know, I think the steps are done in order. There was no way that I could embrace a position of humility. I did not believe that there was a God that loved me, that I don't have to cover up my mistakes anymore, that I'm a human being, fully flawed, and doing the best I can do. And it just, when I read this, I just think, like, nothing good can happen for me if I'm in the business of trying to manage and control other people's opinions. And I'm grateful to learn this, because I have actually been able, you know, we talk about, my program is not separate from my life. I actually take this same position and I try to live it. You know, I don't have to pretend that I'm better for my bosses. I don't have to pretend that I'm better for my kids or for their parents, you know, the friends of his friends and their parents and my daughter-in-law, like, none of it. I can actually be the person that I am. And then I can ask God to, you know, bring me to better things. And if I do that, I don't know, there's a relationship between that and the food being silent. Thanks. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Melissa C. in New York. And then next up is Maya K., followed by Shamisa M. Good morning, Maya. Maya K., star one to unmute.
Hi. Sorry, I couldn't unmute for a second. Hi, it's Maya K. from New York. I'm in recovery today. Compulsive overeater and bulimic. That's a great paragraph. I'm remembering the times that I've been able to apologize because of this program. Whereas before this program, I remember feeling like if I apologized, I was a total mistake. You know, I was humiliated. And I just remember someone saying, you made a mistake, you're not a mistake. And that stuck with me. And now I just feel I have so much self-esteem. I feel like when I'm able to say, now. Like, I am sorry. I made a mistake. I'm sorry I did that. I thought about it. It was dumb I did that. And then I'm also able to, instead of saying, you know, you did this, you did that, like the big book said, like, nobody can argue with your feelings. I can say I felt this way, you know, when this happened with us or something. But it's not accusatory. It says nobody can tell you you don't feel a certain way. And it's not attacking. It's all out of love. But I feel like, you know, as far as like making amends and thinking back to when I was really active in my addiction, I remember being able to say to my daughter, I'm so sorry, you know, I was like that. And being able to act differently now. And I'm just really grateful. This program has just made me treat things in a different way. And when I feel like I'm slipping away from God, I just keep reaching and for all the tools that this program is giving me, like whether it's praying more or meditating or whatever God has put in front of me. But I just keep surrendering to God and to the program and to the tools and to the steps and just keep going. And I'm just really grateful to the program and for my recovery. So I guess that's all I wanted to share. Thanks.
Thanks, Maya K. in New York. And then next up we have Shanista N., followed by Marie T. Go ahead, Shanista.
Hello, this is Shanista N. from Texas. So humble myself to God. So that third step prayer comes to mind. God, I offer myself to thee to build with me, to do with thy will, relieve me of the bondage to self. So my humility in this program in life wasn't possible. One, I didn't realize I was a compulsive overeater, didn't know that thing existed. But I was in a bondage of myself. I was in a world of my own creation, thinking that I was, not thinking, you know, cognitively, but acting as if I was God in control of everything, everyone, and myself. And it wasn't until enough times failing, trying to stop my, control my food, trying to just do it on my own, be smart enough, be strong enough, whatever, be whatever enough in order to get the desired outcome, get what I want, failing enough times that I was finally humbled enough by those failures to break, to do that first break in a chain by bondage. And that's when, you know, God can come in. That's when I was able to come in and see that I was a compulsive overeater, to see my flaws and my sins and my selfishness and dishonesty, self-centeredness, control, desire, all of those things. That single snap of a chain, that freedom from bondage, and thinking that I could do it on my own, is what made and continues to make more and more growth and humility possible. And every time I'm humbled and I can see it, and instead of saying, oh, you should have been able to, if I can see and say, oh, you know, you can't, but God can. Like, that's God's job. And you're just a little human on this earth, a single little drop of water in this big wide ocean. So all of that is not yours. And I'm so grateful for the humility and those humility-inducing experiences in hindsight, but also hopefully with foresight, I'm humbled, grateful for those humility-inducing experiences to come, because they're regularly occurring reminders that God's in charge, that I am just a little human and I'm not in control of the world, and that if I just let go and let God do his thing, things will be fine. And God has provided for all of my needs up to this point, especially in letting me know that I'm a compulsive overeater and that I need the 12 steps in this program of recovery. One, to deal with my compulsive eating, but also to live a much fuller life guided by God's will than I could have ever lived before. So much comes with that word of humility, and I'm thankful for the regular reminders in the big book of humility-inducing experiences and people's acceptance of that humility, opening the door to what this program could offer. And I'll pass.
Thank you, Shanisa in Texas. And then Marie T., you are up next.
Hi, good morning, Marie, from Boston, compulsive overeater. And, you know, compulsive is a big problem. So I'm so thankful to be back. I found a way after 47 years of yo-yo dieting constantly, and I love this program, and, you know, I ended up just soaked it all up. I have a sponsor, and I was running into a little trouble, and I found myself kind of hiding, and compulsion, I was compulsively going to a lot of meetings, like even in one day, a lot of meetings, and it was compulsive, and it was like I kind of had a feeling that probably wasn't the best, but it started a little slippery slope, and I know that. I did 47 years of, you know, up and down, lightning speed, and I just got nervous, but I also kind of held back. I didn't want to. Kind of didn't want to tell anyone. And anyway, I had I met with my sponsor last night, and it's like amazing because there's so many things for myself. I'm conniving. I'm cunning. I'm like, you got this. Like, you know, it's okay. Go back to this place that used to cause you a lot of trouble. You're not getting all of that. You're just getting this. And there were a few other things that in my head was like, it's okay, it's all right, you got it. And then it was like, I'm in trouble, I'm in trouble. And anyway, I had my session, and the biggest thing, like so many things, but just getting back to the big book, reading it this morning, it was so comforting, these steps. So I kind of wasn't focusing on the steps, and yet in my mind, I'm like, I got it, we're on step four, I got it, 1, 2, 3, yep. And I'm so thankful for my sponsor. I'm thankful for this meeting, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Marie T. from Boston. All right, so before I take another lineup, I'll remind us all where we are this morning. So we are in Bill's story, page 13 on the third paragraph. My schoolmate visited me through one paragraph ending to the utmost of my ability. So who else would like to share on this paragraph?
Kelly Christina J. from North Carolina.
Carly F.
Christina J.
I got Kelly, Christina, and Carly. Who else?
Darian K.
What was that first name again?
Darian.
Darian K. Gotcha. Who else? We have room for a few more. All right, well, we'll start with these four. We got Kelly S., Christina J., Carly S., and Darian K. So, Kelly, good morning. Please share with us.
Good morning, Lindsay. Thank you so much for your service. Always good to hear you online. Kelly S., recovered compulsive eater and bulimic in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Thanks for all the wonderful shares, guys. Powerful paragraph. I wanted to share on it because steps 8 and 9 were and still are life-changing for me and very humbling. So for decades, I was in these rooms, and I would always think that that my disease didn't really affect people. Like, you'd hear alcoholics and drug addicts. And I'm like, yeah, really, I mean, you know, whatever. I was so about the weight and the eating, and I just never, ever understood this ease, this spiritual malady, that how I was living in the bedevilments, abstinent or not, usually abstinent, right? Stark raving abstinence we hear. And so I had no clue. And So when I made these amends, it's probably one of the most powerful thing I did, you know. And actually, it was my most fearful because, you know, a lot of people are like, 4 and 5, oh, my God. I'm like, whatever. I mean, not that I enjoyed it. I'm just saying the idea of steps 8 and 9 were freaking me out because I'm like, I'm going to have to go to people and admit I'm wrong and not say but, you know, or make excuses. Just to go and apologize and, you know, and then make these amends. And so when I did these for the first time, let me tell you guys this. I came in 1982, and I didn't make amends until 2013 or 2015. So let me just tell you how that went. Not well. But anyway, so I made amends. I went to these direct amends, and it was unbelievable. And yes, it's painful, but when I started hearing, like, my kids, my wife, my ex-husband, ex-partners, when I would say, you know, is there anything else? And I would hear the impact that I had on their lives. It is so hard and so humbling. And then I get that humility to realize I can't change this heart of mine. I don't know how to change my heart. I can't give myself neutrality and I can't give myself this change of heart. But this last sentence, I was to write all such matters. This is action, right? So I have an action plan of how I'm going to start showing up different. And to sound like a broken record, because I tend to be, you know, I say it all the time that one of my favorite parts and has been huge for me is where it talks about in 19, elimination of our drinking is but a beginning. A much more important demonstration of our principles lies before us in our respective homes, occupation, and affairs. It's time for me to start showing up different, guys. I don't know how to do that. I don't. So every time, and I share it all the time, my best prayer, easiest prayer, God, I don't know how to effing do this. I say it all the time. And then I got to take action and show up different. But I'm telling you, making these amends, right, writing these matters, this is where the transformation changed. We're putting the food down. We're working this program, and it's time to change and get this entire psychic change I've been reading about for decades. And with that, I pass. Thanks, Lindsay.
Thank you, Kelly S. from Oklahoma. And then next up is Christina J. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. This is Christina J. out of North Carolina. Oh, boy, 4 through 9. You know, I came in, and my first 4th in vision, I never really did a 4th before, I discovered how buried I was. I was buried in my resentments. And little did I know, I was buried in extreme fear of everything. And fear drove all this stuff. Fear drove my resentments. Fear drove my selfishness. Fear drove my self-centeredness. That's a big one for me. And my dishonesty. And to unbury is the first. To unbury, to get down to where the real dis-ease is, to uncover that stuff. And I certainly didn't do it all. That was just my first 4 through 9. And through the years, I've discovered more stuff. It's like I got off the top layer of crust and avalanche of self over, I guess I was in my 50s when I did my first. And then I still had stuff, and life brought it to me. Like life keeps bringing it, right? Life says, okay, you're not done here yet. God says, I'm going to show you something here that you're still carrying around, and it's going to get painful, and you're going to pick up again because you're still going to the food instead of me because the food is your higher power. Feel your higher power. You know, I had so many years of going to the food, and it's tough to be sitting there, and you got the cravings, and you're clean, and you want to eat, and door one or two, right? God, which includes fellows and tools and steps, or door number one, which is always the easier thing, pick up immediate comfort for a moment, right? But this section really is such a great thing for newcomers out there to unbury yourself and then get on with the rest of the work. And we have these beautiful tools, 10, 11, and 12, which help us to continue to heal when stuff comes up, when the old bitter champagne bubbles bubble up to say, oh, look, you're still selfish here. Oh, look over here, you know. And I've been in extreme discomfort lately from a physical condition, and I haven't been getting any sleep. And you know what I did today? Last night, I was up and down, jumping up and down, trying to get my body relaxed. And finally, I just said this simple prayer, God, help me go to sleep, right? And I went to sleep. It just takes a simple prayer sometimes to ask God, and he's showing me you can rely on me for everything, even to go to sleep, even to turn away from the food. even to deal with the emotions that came up around my boss yesterday. You can turn to me. This is the gift in the end, that we don't have to go to the food, but this 4 through 9 is like the beautiful beginning of a long journey. So if you're hesitant, don't be. You know, it's hard. It's hard to dredge up that stuff. People sometimes say, why do I have to dig up all that stuff? Because are you still eating? I was still eating. I didn't know why.
That's time.
I had a disease of the soul that wants to be healed. So love you guys, and I pass.
Thank you, Christina J. in North Carolina. And the next up is Carly, and I don't know if I got the last or the first initial of your last name correct, so if you will please let us know what that is. And good morning.
Sure. Thank you. Good morning. This is Carly F. from Colorado. F as in Frank. I'm on step one, and peering down the road ahead of me and the milestones that are these steps, right? And I'm kind of leaning over to the side, looking ahead, going, huh, make amends to people. What does that mean? You know what I mean? So I'm really early in my journey. And but when I, a couple thoughts about this. One is when I look at this paragraph, it's not as though he was following the steps because they were already laid out ahead of him. I can imagine him sitting there with his friend. He's pouring out all these. He's like, oh, my gosh, look at all these deficiencies and problems in my life, like just a whole thing. And then I wonder what it was like to feel like, oh, I need to go back and make amends to people. I really hurt them. I could have really hurt them. And that God had worked in him such a giant emotion, like, oh, I need to go do this. I just wonder what that felt like, you know, because I know now that that's something coming my way. But for him, you know, he's doing this inventory. He's coming face to face with all of these, all the junk, right? All the yuck. And then just realizing that, oh, there's people I've hurt and I need to fix this. And I just wonder how that might have felt for that time. And I know countless people have probably have done that beforehand and have done it since, but we're looking at it now at the birth of these 12 steps, right? And it's an incredible thing to do it. And when I'm peering over the side of the car, looking ahead at this milestone I'm going to face, I'm kind of like, huh, who do I have to amend? You know, but I'm waiting for that moral inventory to kind of discover as I do the steps one at a time, that it's going to be just as of a profound thing for me to do as well. I will say, I use this imagery. I feel like in my heart, I mean, things are moving in my heart, even here at step one. You know, have you ever, I have this image in my mind that there's a big bowl of really stiff batter and the spoon's in it and it's sticking straight up. But I'm slowly moving that spoon around and the batter is loosening and things, and my white knuckles are getting a little less grippy on the things I think I still need to hold on to. But looking ahead at this program is great, even for me at step one, so early. It's funny, I came to OA because I have a problem. I'm a compulsive overeater. I forgot to say that at the beginning, but I'm saying it now. And my behavior was scaring me. And I knew there was something underneath going on that I needed to address quickly. And so I'm in OA to do that, and I'm in step one. And anyway, it's a beautiful and hard, not so easy thing to come face to face with things that are wrong, you know, and that what's going on with this disease. And oh gosh, I'm rambling on. Anyway, thank you so much for sharing, and have a great day.
Thank you, Carly S. from Colorado. And then Darian K., you are up next, and then we will take another lineup of folks to share. Go ahead, Darian.
Oh, good morning. This is Darian Kay in the Berkshires in Western Massachusetts. And gratefully recovered today, and the day has only started. So, God willing, I will put my head on the pillow and be abstinent and recovered when I go to bed. when I read this, you know, it's a lot of work. When I came to OA, I really did think it was another diet. And I just thought, you know, what kind of food What kind of food am I going to eat? You know, what's the food plan? And it was so much more than a food plan. It was a plan of life. It was a plan to make my life better, to clear away so much of, you know, the whys of why I picked up the food or why I turned to food or why food was just comforting for me. And it's, you know, it is work. I am not one to want to put effort into things. You know, there are many doers out there, and I would say I'm a non-doer. I would rather just sit back comfortably with my feet up and let other people do. And, you know, and then maybe do a little bit on my own. And so these steps can be hard. They can be challenging. They can be scary for sure. You know what I mean? But I'm going to say I have done these and I continue to do them and I'm going to do them again formally. And it's a blessing, and I've survived. I've lived through it, you know, and a step survivor, I guess, because it's helped me. It's helped me to look at myself. I don't always want to, that's for sure. I would rather it be someone else's fault, but I know that I am part of the equation in a relationship, and I need to look at that piece. And so, you know, doing this step four, trying to think about those things that disturb me, you know, writing the list and making amends to people is so healing. Oh, it's so healing and wonderful. You know, some of the experiences might not be gratifying, but you know, in the end, you just feel like you've accomplished a great miracle in that you were willing to do something that was really hard and challenging and uncomfortable. So, you know, I'm just so grateful. When I get up in the morning, I really thank God for another day of willingness to work this program, you know, and it's been a while, and I'm just so grateful. So thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Darian Kay in Massachusetts. All right, and so we have got time for about three more shares. So who else would like to share on this paragraph?
Stephanie R.
I got someone R and someone W, but I didn't hear your first name.
Stephanie R.
Okay.
Leslie W.
Okay, great. And then one more. Who else would like to
share? Francis. From Michigan.
Awesome. I got you, Francis. So we've got Stephanie R., Leslie W., and Francis. So, Stephanie, please go ahead and share with us.
Thank you so much. This is Stephanie R. from Missouri. Really grateful to be here. I've been really sitting here, not sharing for a minute, but really absorbing what everybody has been saying. And what I really felt today was my true desire to wake up every single morning and do that step three, and ask that God just turn over my will and my life to the care of my higher power. It was so easy for me when I was in the disease to just be able to sit back and truly not ever be me. I wanted to be who you wanted me to be, and I thought that was the most important thing I could do in this life. But when I've learned through this program how important and how wonderful it is to be authentically me, I'm just so very grateful, because that's a gift from the program. I came in because I wanted to lose weight, and I thought it was all about looking better and getting control of the food. But when I've been given the gift of life, the gift of being able to say thank you, God, every single morning for the things you put in front of me, I just have such gratitude. I find myself saying every single day, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm so very grateful. When I was in the disease, I would wake up and say, God, I hate myself, I hate myself, I hate myself. And just to have that change, that whole shift, that psychic change, that I can be grateful to be who I am. I just wanted to share my gratitude. And I couldn't have done this without my higher power, of course, without the guidance of everybody in this program, because it's just been such a gift. and I'd love to share that gift with others, and I'm so grateful I can do that as a sponsor. So thank you so much for letting me share. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Stephanie R. in Missouri. And then Leslie W., you're up next. Leslie, star one to unmute. Can you hear me?
We can hear you now.
Yay! Okay, sorry about that. This is Leslie W. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Tennessee, and I just wanted to share on this paragraph because it really brings out that immediate surrender. And for me, I think there's been moments in my life where I felt that shift almost immediately. in terms of surrendering and making a decision to move forward with a certain part of my life, those decisions, those occurrences for me, have been like that. They've been immediate. Once it happens, it happens, and that decision is made, and I move on. And not to say that the process leading up to that moment has been easy or quick, because it hasn't. But I am so keenly aware of the fact that as long as I am fighting for my right to prove something to another person, the injustice that I feel, I think a lot of that resistance in me has come simply from a desire to right a wrong or to correct some injustice that I feel has been done to me. And that's where that underlying resentment comes. That's where that underlying disdain comes from. That prevents me from living my life fully. And in order for me to surrender, I have to get to a point where I care more about living my life the way that God intends for me to live it. And I refuse to be put in a position where I can't do that. And so if that means that I have to let stuff go, and I'm not good at that. I'm really not good at that. But the moment that surrender occurs for me, that shift is when the scales tip more in the direction of my desire to save my life than it does to right a wrong or a perceived wrong. So, that's all I got. Thanks. Thanks, Leslie W. in Tennessee. And then Francis, you'll be our final share for the day, and I have got a two-minute share for you. Francis, star one.
This is Francis D. from Michigan. I really appreciate hearing the instructions once again. And I pray for the humility to do a thorough job. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Francis D. from Michigan. All right, well, we will go ahead and close. So thank you to everyone who shared this morning. And thank you for Team Thursday for giving service. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Thursday, April 11th, is 21,307. So that's 21307. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Katie G. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hey, Lindsay, thanks for taking the meeting. Good morning, everyone. Katie G. recovered in Boston. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you